Hello everybody, this is Salil Tripathi from the Institute for Human Rights and Business here in London, and I'm with Gopinath Parakoni, who runs an NGO called CiviDep in Bangalore in southern India. And this is the NGO that has done a lot of work with informal workers in the tannery and the shoe sector, particularly with the upper shoes that are made by the informal sector, largely by women. Can you briefly tell us the scale of the issue involved? Because clearly the issue here is that they are being paid very poorly, they are in conditions which are not very healthy, and they are also supplying to some of the leading brands in the West.
Yeah, I think, you know, the scale of number of home workers is very large, and it runs in thousands, because recently we mapped the supply chain of one particular brand who is sourcing from many factories, but for this project, you know, we did it with one supplier.
Right.
And we found that there were over 100 home workers working for this one supplier.
And the factory, the supplier has his or her own
many,
factory?
Many more factories, yes.
Okay, yeah. All right.
The supplier, okay. You know, we mean a supplying factory,
right,
manufacturing
right.
factory. So there are about 150 such factories in our region.
And this
so
is in Karnataka?
This is in Tamil Nadu.
It's in Tamil Nadu.
In Tamil Nadu.
Okay, yeah, that's another southern state,
yeah,
yes.
In the district of Vellur, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not far from Chennai. It's about 2.5 hours from Chennai.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, that's a huge number, you know, hundreds of, thousands, you know. So, and it's not as if, you know, it's unseasonal work. Throughout the year, there is work. But the issue is that it will depend upon the agent, you know, to give work to a particular home worker or not. So, there is a large pool of
And it's largely a women workforce, right?
Largely a human.
Is there any child labor? That was my question.
The child labor is largely in North India, in the Agra region. But in South India, in home working, there can be little bit because children might help their parents, you know, they might come to school. And but then the good thing is that in South, most parents, you know, even of the poorer sections, you know, would send them to school. So they go to school, but there can be a little bit of assistance, you know, to their
right,
parents.
Right.
The work.
No,
yeah.
These are families with been living in great poverty.
Yeah, really, really. I mean, you know, the wages they get, you know, is something about 20 to 30 pounds a month.
Now, the interesting thing to put it in scale is that you gave the example of some women who are getting between 6 and 13 rupees per upper.
Yes, yeah.
So they're getting something like 12 pence or 10 pence. Per shoe that they are making, and they make a few a day and then end up earning about 30 pounds at the end of the month. This, when the same shoe is retailed at anything from 49 to 99 to 129 pounds,
yeah.
Yes,
so
there's a huge markup involved.
Yeah.
And what you were also saying is that the middlemen are also not very well paid.
No, they aren't really making a lot of money. You know, they'll be better off, the workers, you know, but definitely, I mean, like, you know, yeah, the employer.
So the exploitation is further up the chain rather than lower down the chain.
Yeah.
The other question I had was that you mentioned some factory workers who earned about 6,500 rupees or 92 euros a month, which is about double this income.
Yes.
And yet that is
one-third of the living
only wage. Only one-third of the living wage. So these are very dire conditions.
Yes.
So is it simply a question of supply and demand? Is it that the manufacturers think that they can get away with it?
I mean, partly it might be, you know, but it's also a matter of, you know, how much are you willing to give, you know? I mean, how much is the brand willing to give the supplier? And in that case, you know, how much is the supplier willing to give to the workers? I mean, so it's a matter of, you know, leverage, you know, and
so in a way it parallels the saga that the garment factories have gone through.
You know, yeah,
and
is
this is the next.
Yeah, I mean, the difference is that, you know, that social auditing and social dialogue, all those things are really, really, you know, very much behind in the leather sector.
Mm-hmm.
And the huge environmental impact and the impact on the safety and health of the workers. Those are really serious concerns, you know, which is, the garment industry is generally less hazardous, you know, but in the case of tanneries and shoe factories, it's really very serious. So a lot of work has to go into actually documenting the safety and health conditions, you know, of workers in the factories and in the tanneries.
Now, one of the remedies people are talking about is, of course, things like consumer awareness through transparency.
Yeah.
And surely, if the consumers were more willing to demand of the companies that they improve their chain, that might change. But you also saw some hope with the UN guiding principles.
Yes.
Now, can you tell me how those might help?
Yeah, now the UN guiding principles, you know, we consider that it's a very good influence. It has a lot of potential, but provided, it's also voluntary. So if larger companies, you know, pioneers really, you know, follow the UN guiding principles and report about it, you know, and then how does UN guiding principles make a difference? I mean, along the supply chain, in working conditions, you know, on environment, it's a very good thing to do. But unfortunately, in India, it's not many companies, you know, who have really understood, you know, are aware of the UN guiding principles. So there is a whole lot of work needs to be done. I mean, especially because our government has not yet have a national action plan. I mean, there is some work and some conversation, but I mean, it's very important to have a national action plan on the one hand. But on the other hand, you know, leading brands, leading companies have to take initiative and be pioneers, you know, in actually capacity building on UN guiding principles. How will the smaller companies follow the UN guiding principles? You know, what is the management system
right.
within these companies, you know, to really be compliant to UN guiding principles? You know? So
right.
there's a huge capacity issue and an awareness issue.
And it seems that the government's prevailing ethic is to create more jobs for more things that can be made in India for the export market. So you're fighting a fairly tough battle, because when you talk about these kind of, not restraints, but kind of standards to be brought in, people would say, but that would interfere with our business
exactly,
plans.
Exactly.
Yes.
I mean, see this skill commission, you know, the concept is great. You know, I mean, we need better skilled workforce, definitely India. But unfortunately, what we experience is that, you know, some of these companies are using it to employ cheap labor. There is no great deal of skill development involved.
Yes.
It is about bringing more vulnerable migrant workers from poorer side of India and then employ them in the factories.
Right.
This affects, you know, adult wages in the industry. So, I mean, yeah, skill development, skill commissions, all this work towards skill building is excellent, you know, but the negative side of it is that, you know, it is being misused, you know, by some industries.
Thank you so much.
Thank
and
you
all
much.
The best with your
Thank
work.
You very much.
Thank you so much
yeah.
indeed.